to scams was perhaps the most important plank of Prime Minister Modi's 2014 election campaign. Over the past 4 years, the government has consistently repeated this line when defending its economic performance. But over the past week, that narrative has looked decidedly weaker, thanks to the Prime Minister's namesake, Nirav Modi, followed up by a Vikram Kothari of Rotomac Pens and a sundry of other names. It's been a week of scams after scams coming to light under a government that came to power on the plank of fighting corruption. 4 years on, and we the people, we're asking, is the Modi government living up to its promise of delivering corruption-free governance? Can corruption still be the central stick for this government to beat up the opposition in the upcoming general election? Or have the cases against relatives of Congress leaders like P. Chidambaram and Amrinder Singh dented the Congress's attack? And perhaps more importantly, the Nirav Modi scam has exposed the frailties of India's banking system. Where are the oversight agencies? Has the RBI been an adversary or an accomplice to such wide-scale fraud? How does one restore public confidence in the banking system? We have in studio today, first, Mr. Gopal Krishna Agarwal, national spokesperson of the BJP, also an independent director on the board of the Bank of Baroda, Adil Singh Mupara, spokesperson of the Congress, Anjali Bhardwaj, social activist on issues of transparency and accountability, D.T. Franco, general secretary of the All India Bank Officers Confederation, Gurcharan Das, author and commentator, former CEO of Procter & Gamble India, Shubhamoy Bhattacharya, he's a consulting editor of Business Standard, and Dr. Jagdish Shettigar, economic professor at BIMTEC, former Prime Minister Vajpayee's economic advisor. Let me go across first to Mr. Agarwal. Mr. Agarwal, first and foremost, congratulations on your big wins this weekend. It's certainly a good end to what has been a difficult week for the party. But like I was just saying, over the past 4 years, every time the BJP government is criticized on the economy, job growth has fallen off the cliff, GDP the same as UPA 2. The BJP always says that under Prime Minister Modi, we have a corruption-free, a scam-free government. That's no longer the case.
No, actually, if you see, it is the roadmap that we are walking on. Since the Prime Minister Modi came to power, BJP came to power, there has been a series of steps, and I can just list them.
When you say roadmap, this was part of the plan.
All the things which are, even if you talk of NPA, this identification, unless you accept a problem, you acknowledge a problem, no, you cannot go for a solution. The first and foremost thing was identifying the problem of NPA which existed in the financial institutions.
It took four years for you to identify it. This was never created by BJP.
This existed in the system. It is our
but
government
it went
which
from
has 250 identified.
Crores to now 11,000 crores. You had to wait for four years.
If you talk of
11,000 crores to be built up for a fraud, and then you want to identify it. That is part of the roadmap.
This is not that simple what you are talking. NPA is almost of 9 lakh crore, and there are three components in the NPA. One is genuine failures of the bank corporate houses. There are risk
associated. We're not talking about genuine failures,
no,
sir. I'm talking about the scam. You have to classify them.
And the second component is crony capitalism, large portion in the NPA.
Like in this case, how did Nirav Modi get these loans, one after the other? How did he get them? Did he get them because there were photographs of him with Prime Minister Modi in Davos?
No, that's crony capitalism. Isn't that crony capitalism? If you continue green shooting, what is the genesis of the problem and the genesis of the solution? You have to go into it. If you continue green shooting them, recycling the loans, you can continue add on what had been
done
over
the years.
So what is
the genesis of the solution? What is the solution
your government has provided? First time the government has taken a strong step to identify, stop them recycling, stop green shooting them.
What are the steps, sir? Again, recycle, renew the LOU. Easily this could have been done repeatedly. By whom? It's your government. Who would have done this?
The government is the banking system, banking structure. It was stopped by the government. The systems have been put in place where you identify the bad loans, sub-quality loans, substandard assets. All these existed in the system. It is the government initiative along with financial institutions that has been responsible for this identification and clarification and clearing of the mess which
has been
created.
What has been clarified? What has been cleared? Adil, please come in here. But the fact is that you finally had a stick. The opposition finally had a stick to beat this government. But they've been like, they have a Teflon coating. Nothing seems to touch them. And now your stick has actually been cut down to size because of the case, the charges against Amrinder Singh's son-in-law, Karthi Chidambaram, being questioned by the CBI.
Well, I have a preliminary point to make, Sarah. The fact of the matter is all the LOUs which are under investigation by the CBI were issued in 2017. I've gone through the CBI FIR two times over. I think Mr. Agarwal needs to check that, number one. Number two, the intimation was made to the Prime Minister's office in 2015. What was the government doing about it? And the moot point, which till date, neither the Finance Minister nor the Prime Minister has clarified, how is it that these people flee all of a sudden days before the lodging of the FIR? That's my preliminary point. Now, coming to Mr. Karthi Chidambaram's case, it's a bogus case, and I'll tell you why. The allegation in the CBI FIR is... Can I complete my point, Mr. Agarwal? The allegation is that Mr. Karthi Chidambaram influenced the FIPB. Now, what is the FIPB? The FIPB is a committee of secretaries, which at that point in time was headed by Mr. D. Subba Rao. So is the CBI saying that Mr. Karthi Chidambaram influenced Mr. Subba Rao and six other secretaries? That's point number one. Point number two, it was Mr. P. Chidambaram himself who marked income tax inquiries against INX Media. It was Mr. P. Chidambaram who forwarded the complaints against INX Media to the Ministry of Corporate Affairs, which ultimately resulted in the SFIO indicting INX Media. So let's understand, this is a diversionary tactic by the BJP. They're feeling the heat for the bank scam. And another classic case of crony capitalism, Sarah, is the Jatin Mehta case. Jatin Mehta is related to a powerful industrial house in this country. There were complaints sent to the CBI according to their own financial statement in mid-2014. In 2016, he ran away. He renounced Indian citizenship. What was the government doing? Okay, and belatedly, they lodged an FIR in 2017.
You're right that the CBI says, the FIR says that these LOUs were all of them granted in 2017. But analysts have said that this case has been going on for 7 years. So if the BJP... is not absolved of blame, neither is the Congress. You know, if they have not monitored and run this, one of the largest public banks in the country, the Congress is also responsible for setting up a weak bank in the first place.
Well, if that was the case, why didn't the CBI say so in its FIR? The FIR is a document which initiates criminal investigation. We have to go by the FIR. Okay. We can't go by the narrative which is being peddled by the BJP.
That's fair. That's a good point. So, Mr. Agarwal, respond the way the law over works. Here. You
how
say,
you call
he says this
point.
Is a diversionary tactic. So,
no,
one second.
Sarah,
let me hear my question. You can't respond without hearing my question. Adil is saying, one second. Adil is saying this is a diversionary tactic. You say there's been green shooting, etc. happening. My question is this. He points out it's about the timing, right? Like this Amrinder Singh case, the complaint was filed in last year, I think. Why has the charge been brought up now? Karthi Chidambaram's lawyer says that no summons for 2 years, but he's arrested now. Why now? What are the significant institutional solutions that the BJP has put into place in the past 4 years?
So initially I told you the whole process of identification, this existence of NPA, bank fraud, everything existed in the system. It is over the period of 3.5 years. Our government has institutionalized the whole process of first identification. Unless you identify the plan, you put up under the carpet and you say that the problem doesn't exist. If this is the solution which the Congress had done for the banking system over the years and everybody accept that this was the solution, then it's fine. But I tell you, the whole problem existed over since long period and it has accumulated to the tune of 9 lakh crores. This is the whole process.
Let me finish.
I gave him full time. Let me finish. I'll not ask more time than you. The second thing is, unless you identify the problem, we have identified the problem and we have worked towards the solution. In the line, there are some fraud cases. I agree. Fraud is a different thing than NPA. And regular risk failures of the business.
I'm glad
the
we're
problem,
talking about fraud, sir,
yes,
not non-performing assets.
The issue is we have to first identify the total problem, segregate into these three categories and work on solution all three. If you say that our solution, process of solution is faulty, we can debate. But at least we are part of the solution.
Okay,
we are not
Anjali,
part of the problem.
Is the government part of the solution? Or... Have these reforms that were promised in the banking sector actually gone ahead, or are they just talking points for Davos? What is the record you would give? What grade would you give this government? Have they created an environment that is hostile to the corrupt?
Look, let's understand the kind of corruption that has taken place here, the frauds that we are seeing coming out. These are big ticket frauds, and these are not possible without collusion at the highest level. The kind of breakdown of the oversight mechanism that we are seeing, it starts from the internal checks and balances breaking down within banks, then it goes on to the auditors not being able to do their job, not doing their job, and the regulatory framework also colluding somewhere. This raises big questions because this is a systemic failure. The government needed to have put in a system of anti-corruption, preventing corruption that was at a systemic level. There has been a demand from citizens of this country across the board saying that there has to be a proper anti-corruption framework in the country. What is the framework that was demanded and finally put in place legislatively? The first was that have a strong whistleblowers protection mechanism.
Yes.
How do frauds like this come out? They yeah. can come out only when people within and outside the system can come out, blow the whistle on corruption that they are seeing, because people are unable to look at all of this. People within the system have to be empowered to blow the whistle. What is the track record of this government in the past close to 4 years that they have been in power? Unfortunately, the whistleblowers protection law was passed in 2014, and till date the rules have also not been promulgated for that law, which means that whistleblowers today are not being given any protection. The complaints that they make, which we understand were made to several offices including the Prime Minister's office, these complaints are not being
and
looked
4 years
into.
On we've so had the first meeting on the Lokpal
issue.
There is
no mechanism for looking into complaints. How will you prevent this kind of fraud if there
okay,
is no
I'm glad
mechanism.
You brought up the whistleblowers app, because we actually have Mr. Hari Prasad joining us from Bangalore. He is the original whistleblower in the Mehul Choksi's case. Mr. Hari Prasad, you are a Gitanjali Gems franchisee. Mehul Choksi cheated you of 13 crores. You knew there was some hanky-panky going on. You complained to the police, the ED, the CBI, SEBI, you name it, all the way up to the PMO. What happened?
Ma'am, I don't know what is happening in the society like this. It is impossible for any businessman to get away with so many places, so many the fraudulent activities were going on, despite repeated information to several authorities, so-called investigating authorities. Not a single person has taken a serious note of it, and everywhere it has been suppressed by the people who are involved in this. So I think it is a lot of connivance with the bureaucrats and the police, with these criminals from every level. You know, there is always a trade-off between for a businessman, trade-off between a corruption versus his benefit. So I think it is everywhere it is going on. Unfortunately, this could have been averted 2 years back only. But nothing has been done despite information. This is impossible to believe for a common man.
So when you woke up on the morning of February 14th, on Valentine's Day, when this all actually broke, what went through your mind?
I said, I thought, but at last, because of the bank, the Mehul Choksi name has come out in the open, which I was shouting and screaming at the top of my voice for the past, from 2015 itself. So I was a bit happy that that has come out. Now, after that, everybody is asking me why no action was taken place. But what happened to the situation before that? I'm only asking why action was not taken when the information was given. In fact, personally, I went every place, many places. I spent my money, my energy, my everything that I had to inform the government about this possibility of fraud. But nobody takes notice. What does it mean?
That's the question everyone wants. That's a million-dollar question. Why was there no action taking place? Mr. Das, I'll come across to you, but let's go across D.T. Franco here first. D.T., you heard Anjali. She's saying it's not possible that two middlemen were doing this in this bank, and these are one of your colleagues, right? They're fellow bankers like you. So how is it possible that such a huge scam could have taken place? You tell us, you're a banker, without the higher-ups being involved.
Well, first of all, there are 12 lakh bank employees. Out of that, 1 or 2 committing a fraud, we should not branch, the entire banking system getting into this collusion. Here in this
case, when coverage of Sridevi happens, all of journalism is blanketed with the same brush. But
let
sir, you
back.
Have a union, right?
In this particular case, the system has failed. The same system of SWIFT-related frauds have taken place from 1999, and the RBI has a responsibility to supervise, not only just give guidelines. RBI has been busy with other things like demonetization, and they are still counting the money which has come back. So, the supervision failed, the banking supervision also within the bank also has failed. I do not agree that it can be just one or two people sitting at the lower level who could be responsible. There are checks and balances, there are audit systems which should have been used and that should have been brought to the notice.
So, you agree with the finance minister that the RBI is responsible? Mr. Das, the finance minister says the RBI is responsible. He pointed fingers at the RBI, but no finger should be pointed at the finance ministry himself. In fact, so much so that the defense minister and the HRD minister, I think, was speaking up on this issue.
You know, it is not fair to blame the RBI.
Why?
The
reason, aren't they a regulatory body?
They are a regulatory
keep changing
body.
Every 5 years.
But
why
I think
the RBI
we are dancing around the symptoms. The real problem is that no country in the world, no free country in the world has 70% of its assets in the public sector. Now, I've been a director of both public sector organizations and private sector organizations. And the big problem is, the big difference is that the private sector works on a professional basis. It recruits on a professional basis. It promotes on a professional basis. It lends money on a professional basis. What I've seen in the public sector, I was a director of Air India, and I could tell you stories that will make your hair stand up. And what I'm trying to say to you is that even in the banking crisis of 2008, when a lot of public private sector banks failed, they were bailed out, but immediately the governments returned them back to the private sector because the governments realized that banking, running banks is not the job of the government. The job of the government is governance. And Reserve Bank, you just blame the Reserve Bank. And I'll tell you, what could the Reserve Bank do when these jobs are for life, when the recruiting is unprofessional, when there are political loans given? This is an impossible job that you give to
the Reserve
Bank. But
the RBI
has
done nothing even since
so
then.
So the
it's
answer,
not even about,
my dear,
it's about at least hauling
my,
up the officials.
My dear Sarah, the answer is
but the answer
much
is the
more,
answer privatization?
Much more fundamental. And that is this bank, this crisis we've just had. In fact, the NPA crisis is a much worse thing than this fraud that we are talking about. In this NPA crisis, we could have taken at least five of the worst public sector banks and brought their equity down to 49%. Now, they are very good people in the banking system. I know that, and they work very hard, but their job is impossible because of this incentive system.
Okay, so there is a rot in the system. You're saying there's radical change needed and privatization is the answer.
And that's why we elected Mr. Modi. We thought Mr. Modi would undo the damage. One of the worst things
you
Indira Gandhi did.
You still think he's going to do so? It's 4 years
Exactly.
Indira rule, and there's an election coming up, so I doubt they're going to do anything as radical as that now.
Look, Indira Gandhi did good things. She won the Bangladesh war. But this was the worst thing she did, which was to nationalize the banking system.
Okay.
All
let's get
economists agree on this.
Okay.
And
I want to just play devil's advocate.
The
is there a place for public banks in a country like India where there is so much rural poverty, where when I remember going into a bank, my bank recently, and there was a poor gentleman who was clearly not from a big city, who's just standing around and then he's asking me, beta, mera form bharwa do. The bank doesn't even have the form in Hindi. But anyway, Mr. Sir, you respond.
See,
privatization is the answer.
First of
all, you public banks should be shut down and be privatized.
Not all. Start with five of the worst ones. There are some good ones. You can wait for those.
See, he said all economists agree on privatization. Just 2 days before, 66 leading economists of this country have given an open statement to the press that privatization is not a solution. And we have had the history. What happened to the Global Trust Bank? What had been happening before 1969? Per year, average 35 private sector banks were going insolvent. And the R.K. Hazare Committee of 1964 clearly pointed out, unless you break the nexus between the business houses and the banking, Indian economy cannot grow. And within this country, when you still have 26% of the people living below the poverty line, who opened this 31 crore Jan Dhan accounts?
And many,
who
many
is opening
who are out
the Atal
the ambit
Pension
of the financial
Yojana scheme?
Services.
Pardon?
Many who are out of the ambit of financial services.
Exactly.
Who caters to them?
The private sector banks cater to the Jan Dhan accounts? 97% of the accounts are opened by the public sector banks out of these 31 crore accounts. Please let me talk, sir. The privatization, we have seen through various reports after 1969 to 1991. It is because of the nationalization, economy grew, the common man got credit, the CD ratio increased, rural credit increased. We opened accounts across rural areas which were having a very small population also, even if there is a block headquarters.
We can have a separate debate on whether privatization for a whole hour, but Mr. Franco, respond to the fact that even you banks have double standards when it comes to your clients. If you walk in for a loan and you're wearing a well-fitted Italian suit and crocodile, you know, leather shoes, and I speak English with an accent, you'll bend over backwards like you did for Nirav Modi. If I have a picture with the Prime Minister in Davos, even better. But what about the poor person who comes to you for a loan? All these banks, how much they have asked?
Farah, you are talking about only few people. The Finance Minister
we
himself
hear of
in
cases
2000.
Every day.
Wait. In 2017, April 26th, the Finance Minister speaking in America said that this NPA crisis is because of 20 to 30 people and it has taken too long to solve and I am going to solve. He has not solved. And the crisis has come, the small credits have gone down, large corporate loans have gone up because of we changed the policies. After 1991, what happened was the priority sector lendings were reduced, corporate lending was encouraged, the 10 years recruitment in the banks was stopped. 2001 VRS, 1,26,314 people left the banking system, and myself had been a branch manager of 3 branches. Now I realized that I was always finding it easy to give a loan of 1 crore to one person instead of giving 1 lakh loan to 100 people because I did not have the adequate staff. The policies had changed towards the corporates.
Okay.
What has changed now is technology. The future, the banking system, this banking system, first of all, I applaud this Jan Dhan accounts and all that, but this banking system is going to go the way the telecom system did. Just as we skipped the landline and went to the cell phone.
I'm actually
for
back
the
to
country.
A landline. Cell phones don't seem to work.
Well,
I think
you should ask people who never had a landline. There were only 10 million landlines in the whole country. You are one of the few who has it.
That's a good point.
But the fact is today there are a billion. In the same way, the future of banking and for the poor is through jam, what we call jam. Jan Dhan accounts combined with mobile banking and combined with the cell phone. We won't need the bank branches.
So they won't
we
need
won't
to
need
be
the banking system.
Because of
we
technology.
Don't need
okay.
the branches in the future at all. And so, because if we embrace that, and we are embracing it, I think the whole picture will be different. And we don't need to have 70% of monopoly of the government running banks. Government should govern. Government should not be running banks.
It's a question of regulation.
We'll have more frauds when you do that.
Well,
why,
that, are we
would,
special?
Why would technology...
No, no,
but
are
why
we
would,
really
why
special
would
in the world?
Bring down fraud?
I'm sorry.
Didn't get you.
You know, what he's trying to say is that India is very special, that India should have its banking system with the government when no other government has its banking system running the grind. Why even China? Even China, you know, has reduced its private economy is now only is now 70% of the total, and it's a communist country. So why are we special that we need to own, have our government bank owned?
Shubham, please come in here. You've been covering business and economic affairs forever. Has there been no corruption that's reported in private banks?
No, that's not the point. Obviously, there would be. When you're putting money, I can't think of any place anywhere in the world where good money isn't chased by the corrupt. So that'll always be there. And young people out here would be frustrated that they have good ideas when they go to a bank, they don't get loans, they don't get anybody to listen to them. That is because Indian banks are lazy. Most of our corporates, it's not a question of, let me put it. Where in the world does a big corporate need to come to a bank to take out a loan to run his company? Zuckerberg doesn't do that. Google doesn't do that. No major company, transnational company across the world goes to a bank to say, hey, give me a loan, I'll run. They come to a loan, they take out a loan when they go in for a mergers and acquisition, which is a different sort of a thing from an investment bank. In India, all the big banks, that was how we created our banks. They were basically repositories for the big companies to basically act as their fund to run the companies, because they didn't want to go to the public market. Mm-hmm. IPOs in India do not come. We need a market for corporate debt. We need a market for public issues. They don't come. We are a market. It's an absurd figure. I mean, all of you who think public sector bank is good, just go anywhere and just open up the percentage of big companies in the world who use banks. You'll be amazed. They don't. In India, every corporate uses it. Obviously,
so you're not saying privatization is the solution either. You're just saying that big corporates don't go to public banks to take loans.
Shouldn't. So obviously, when they walk in with Gucci leather shoes, good suits, you stand no chance. But that's a problem. The banking sector finds it easy to service them. No matter what, I mean, I agree with him that there's been a lot of good work that the public sector bank has done, but it's the simple, but the structure itself is flawed. You cannot have a banking system underwriting the corporate need for financing. And the moment you do it, connections and other nepotism, which has been happening over decades.
And the moment you do it, who pays for this now? Because I was reading that, you know, loan rates are going up. So the Aam Aadmi is going to pay.
Absolutely. And that's the
point. EMIs are going
up. See, the problem with a private sector bank is if a private sector bank fails, the shareholders take a hit.
Correct.
If a public sector bank fails, the poorest guy who's paying the tax pays for it. She has never approached a bank, but she will pay, at least even if it's one paise. What sort of a social justice is that? It's not about public or private being better or worse. It's simply about accountability and responsibility.
Yeah, and this is where the fact is, it's somebody's money which is being lost. In the Sarkari bank, it's the money of the taxpayer. It's the hard-earned money of the taxpayer. So you have accountability. That's what he's talking about. And he's absolutely right. Why did we not institute the P.J. Nayak committee reforms? They were very good reforms. They did not involve privatization. And what I'm just trying to quickly say here is that he's also absolutely right that we need to deepen our debt market, our bond market. Today, that is a major opportunity instead of just relying on the banking system. That all over the world, they have done this.
And when the coal guys came along, they took out loans from the bank and they took those loans for the coal mines. We had that in the telecom sector. You can go along any scam in India. No scam operates without a good bank. Whether it's Harshad Mehta, whether it's Ketan Mehta, whether it's now currently Nirav Modi. It's all the same thing. A good bank is a good conduit as long as banks maintain the great comfortable level with the corporate sector.
But in those cases that you mentioned, the government had to be accountable, right? As Mr. Yashwant Sinha pointed out, he had to appear before a parliamentary committee. Mr. Shettyar,
Yeah. Because if you want to look into the whole banking problem, what privatization or what, you should understand, discuss on what is the twin balance sheet problem. The over-leveraged balance sheet of corporate houses, they have so much of debt component in their balance sheet, There is no way they can service that debt.
So what is the BJP and stand on this issue? Where do you stand? Privatize these banks?
This is the solution we are working on. PM has said the twin balance sheet problem. Our economic survey last year and last year talked of twin balance sheet problem. This was over leveraged debt structure with the corporate structure were allowed due to crony capitalism and easy loan.
They will support the denationalization if they get a relatively political
but if you are talking about
their party is okay with it.
If you want to talk of a solution, whether privatization is good or whether bad, we understand that social responsibility of the business is more with the public sector banks. The role which the public sector banks play, it cannot be played by the private sector bank. You go even
that
if
is the BJP's official stance.
Yes,
but what are you going to do to prevent the loot of these public sector banks?
That's what the system solution we are talking. That's what we want. Unless you have a resolution mechanism on the bankruptcy laws, asset recovery, confiscation of assets, all these initiative, whether fugitive law, IBC, NCLT.
Okay, Mr. Sharia, please come in here. This fugitive law that the cabinet has cleared as a
law.
Bill.
Benami property is an important law.
Okay,
for
but fugitive
years,
laws just happened this week.
It was put in the law but not notified. Why? It is for the
question. Can I respond to this?
No, let me finish. Okay. There is IBC, there is NCLT. All these are part of solution.
Let me
unless
respond.
You identify the problem.
One second. Mr. Sharikar has been solution. Waiting. So will you respond to the fugitive law? This is, as of now, it's a bill. It still has to be cleared. We don't know. But the fact is, Nirav Modi, Vijay Mallya, Choksi, all of them are not here.
No,
so
only three are there. There will be other people who can run away.
So it's not retrospective.
But
are you saying it's not retrospective?
This is for them solution, even their property.
So will it be retrospective or not?
Huh?
Will it be retrospective? You're saying they are gone, but others will be caught.
No, but their property can be confiscated at point of time. Whenever this law is put in place, whatever property they have
property
in India will
already
be
mortgaged to third parties. How will they recover that?
Will it
that
come? Parliament's going
to
begin tomorrow, and will it come up? Will
banks.
It be cleared by both houses? Is the government keen enough to push it through as an ordinance? Mr. Shettyar, please respond. Is the government doing enough?
No, this cannot be looked from the isolation. There are two issues. If you look at the NPAs from the technical ground, the so-called alarming 11 lakh crores NPA, out of that hardly 15% is the willful default. The rest is due to the existing law like Industrial Dispute Act, which doesn't allow the commercially unviable unit to close down if the number of workers are more than 100 in most of the states and in Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, and Rajasthan if it is more than 300. When you don't allow the commercially unviable units to close down, you have to pay, and when you have to pay, obviously you have to borrow from the banks which cannot be serviced. So that is the crux of the problem. Whenever you talk about the labor reforms, two, three times earlier NDA government also made an attempt. Unfortunately, NDA government did not have the majority in the upper house. Even the present government doesn't have, maybe from the April, it may have the upper end. But in between, the Modi government has brought bankruptcy code, which indirectly allows the exit route, which was the purpose of the amending the Industrial Dispute Act. But unfortunately, within a few months of bankruptcy code getting implemented, now we see a challenge from persons like Nirav Modi, which means that it is a systematic failure, and we should look from the corruption. As far as the corruption is concerned, in fact, the survey pointed out, in the KPMG survey pointed out that it is inevitable cost of doing business in India, which means that we have to minimize the governance. No doubt.
What is the inevitable cost of doing
that
business?
That is, you
in
have
India?
To pay bribe, or maybe whether it's the officials
no, that was the case
or
the
political leaders.
The government said it
political.
Would change things.
You cannot conduct the business without bribing the concerned persons, whether they are bureaucracy.
But if you hear our prime minister in Davos and any other places, he says India has changed. It's no longer like that.
The only solution is, it is not privatization or the government nationalization. It is a functional autonomy to the banks. And if the government comes out with an amendment, even if their equity share is slightly higher level, they should confine themselves to getting the dividend from the banks and should not interfere, because all these, whether it is Vijay Mallya's case or Nirav Modi, I'm sure that without connivance by the higher-ups, whether it is a bureaucracy or the political leaders, this wouldn't have taken place. It is not that our banks lack talents.
So you're saying higher-ups were involved.
We have to allow them to function as per the banking norms, which by and large the private banks follow. Though we also see the cases like Axis Bank and all also getting involved. So, but comparatively, nationalized banks, the political interference is higher. How to minimize the political interest? So that is the real crux of the problem.
Mr. Shatigar is right.
I think
70%. He's right in the sense that banks, the public sector, should be given autonomy and it will behave as well as the private sector. But since 1956, every committee has been saying the same thing that he's saying now. And why do you think in 2017 it's going to be done? It won't be done. So therefore, either we elected Mr. Modi because he was going to change this rotten system of bribery and corruption, etc. And this can only be done if you have the right incentives. And the rest of the world has recognized it. And India somehow thinks we have the wisdom to keep 70% of our assets with the public sector.
But we also have large part of our public in poverty in rural areas. Anjali,
Sarah, without going into the merits and demerits of privatization, I think the important issue here is whether it is the public sector banks or private sector banks. Because it's not like the private sector has had a fantastic track record. There is enough corruption in the private sector. After all, people like Nirav Modi, Mehul Choksi were part very much of the private sector, not the public sector. So what we need is proper regulation, whether it is private or public sector banks. And unfortunately, the regulatory framework for banks has completely broken down and is exposed today. When people ask for information, what are they saying? The one way for the government to be accountable is to give people information on what is happening inside banks. Unfortunately, even as recently as 2017, when RTI applications were filed to the RBI asking for information on who are the loan defaulters, that list has been denied to people.
Absolutely.
So the government can also do things. I'm saying that there has to be greater transparency. Neither is the regulator being transparent and clearly not being accountable to the people of this country, nor is the government. What is preventing the government from putting out list of defaulters in the public domain? After all, it's our money.
And the RBI said that they don't want to do this.
Absolutely.
And there are 111,000 crores.
Do we not have a right to know who is running away with our money, who is defaulting? When there are farmers, there are small businesses, there are people who default on loans, are they allowed to get away with it in this country?
We have one person here, another namesake of the Prime Minister. This is Narendra Singh ji. Aapne loan li hai state bank se, government bank se. Kitne paise ka loan li hai, kyun li hai, aur aapne paise wapas di hai, agar nahi di hai, kyun nahi di hai?
Aisa hai ji, maine limit banwai hai 13 kile pe 22 lakh ki. Aur kharche ho gaye ghar pe, shaadi kar li, 4 baar meri fasal mar gayi, paise main bhar nahi sakya. अब मजबूरी है सरकार तक वाजिब हमारे भी फसलों के रेट सही लगाएं और हमारे को कर्जे से मुक्त करें.
नहीं तो आपने कुछ भी पैसे वापस दिए कि नहीं?
दिए दो बार, लेकिन दोबारा दिए नहीं गए.
ओके.
फसल मर गया उसके बाद
तो फिर अब बैंक क्या कर रही है आपके साथ?
बैंक अब क्या कर
रहे हैं आपके साथ?
बैंक का तो भरो, भरे जाते नहीं.
नहीं तो क्या कर रहे हैं? आपको तंग कर रहे हैं या?
तंग तो कर ही रहे हैं, जब उनके देने हैं बैंक में जाने को
नहीं, तो कैसे नहीं तंग कर रहे हैं? क्योंकि पैसा तो आपको वापस देना है. नहीं सर, मैं ये नहीं कह रही हूँ कि फार्मर लोन वेवर्स होने चाहिए, उसके ऊपर डिबेट हम नहीं कर रहे हैं, मुझे उसके बारे में इतना पता भी नहीं है. अभी पैसे तो वापस देने, मैं बस ये कह रही हूँ कि जो सरकार आपके साथ जो बर्ताव करती है, तो नीरव मोदी के साथ वैसे सेम बर्ताव नहीं होते हैं, डबल स्टैंडर्ड्स होते हैं. तो आप मुझे बताइए बैंक ने किया क्या है आपके साथ?
बैंक कहता है भरो.
हाँ,
भरे जाते नहीं. सारी बात तो जब लेने देने पड़ते हैं टोक बड़ी माड़ी होती है हमारे में कहते हैं टोक बहुत माड़ी होती है
तो आपको जब ये करना है तो फिर क्या आपने अपने घर गिरवी की है आपकी
जमीन गिरवी रखी है जी बैंक में
तो जब आप पढ़ते हो पेपर में कि ऐसे ये जो नीरव मोदी जी है एक विजय माल्या जी है दूसरे ऐसे बहुत सारे हैं जो आपके पीछे जो बैंक इतनी टाइम और एफर्ट स्पेंड कर रही है आपके पीछे वो लोग तो चले गए वो बाहर में पता भी नहीं है वो कहां पे
हम तो जा नहीं सकते हमने तो जमीन गिरवी रखी है जी
हमें
तो यही रहना है
आपको
मैडम जी ये बताइए हम तो किसान हैं
बैंक फार्मर्स को कोई तंग नहीं कर रही मैं तो बैंकिंग सेक्टर से जुड़ा हूं और मैं
अंजलि सुनिए
एक और बात तो हम अंजलि जी की बात से बिल्कुल वाकिफ नहीं रखते बैंकिंग स्ट्रक्चर को ठीक किया जा रहा रॉटन था सिस्टम
सर, पब्लिक
और आने वाले दो साल में बैंकिंग स्ट्रक्चर को आज एनपीए को आइडेंटिफाई कर दिया प्रोविजनिंग कर दिया और रिजोल्यूशन के लिए बहुत काम कर रहे हैं जिस तरह कॉर्पोरेट हाउस पहली बार भाग रहे हैं इधर उधर उनकी प्रॉपर्टी कंफिस्केट कर रही है उनके जो कंपनीज है भूषण स्टील को देखिए आप भूषण स्टील को कैप्चर आज तक किसी कॉर्पोरेट हाउस को पता किया आपने तो किसानों को बिल्कुल तंग नहीं कर रहे अगर किसी को तंग कर रहे तो आप मुझे बताइएगा
आप मेरी बात पूरी सुनो
किसानों को अगर कोई तंग कर रहा है लोन के रीपेमेंट में तो मुझे बताइएगा वी विल टेक इट पर्सनली
अरे सर इनको लेट हिम स्पीक एट लीस्ट
हां तो आप उन्हें बोलने दीजिए ना आप
मैं कहां पे रोक रही हूं आप बोलिए सर
आपको किस पे इतने तंग कर दिया आप बताइए
इनको बात करने दो
आप मुझे बताइए आपको किस पे
अरे सर लेट हिम स्पीक करवा ही इज अ फार्मर
कैथल कैथल जिले से मैं आया हूं मेरी कहीं सुनाई नहीं हुई और तो क्या जी अब पिछले 15-20 दिन से एक बिजली वाले ने इतना तंग कर रखा है सुनो तो बात चार बार मेरी फसल मर गई मैं भाई मेरे पे रिक्वेस्ट मैं एक मिनट बता मेरी परेशानी बताते हैं ना मैं अपने भी किसान को क्यों नहीं तंग करते बिजली वहां भी देखो भी 12 मतलब चार बार फसल मर
गई आप ये बताइए हमें ब्रेक पे जाना है अगर आप प्रधानमंत्री को एक मैसेज दे
मैसेज दे सकते हैं हमको अभी कर्जे से मुक्त करें हमारे फसलों के लागत के हिसाब से रेट दें
या आप किसानों के लोन वेवर की बात कर रहे हैं या आपको आउट ऑफ द सिस्टम जाके
बंद कर रहे हैं लिमिट लिमिट है हमारी
लोन वेवर की बात कर रहे हैं आप
हाँ जी
ये जो मैं हम सिर्फ इसके बारे में बात कर रहे हैं कि ये जो डबल स्टैंडर्ड्स होती है जो बैंक आपके पीछे आप कितने लोन 12 लाख का लिया था कंपेयर दैट टू 11,000 क्रोर्स जो मिस्टर नीरव मोदी ने ली है एंड आपके पीछे जो बैंक विद द काइंड ऑफ एनर्जी दे गो आफ्टर अ फार्मर दे डोंट गो आफ्टर दीज गाइस इसके बारे में आप बताइए
नहीं हमारा कहना यह है कि बैंकिंग सिस्टम जो है वो हमारे गांव से जब हम लोन लेने के लिए वहां दलाल चाहिएगा बिना दलाल के कोई लोन नहीं मिलेगा और मेरी 20 लाख की प्रॉपर्टी 30 लाख का मेरा प्रति एकड़ कीमत है उसकी उसका लोन मिलेगा 50,000 रुपए 50,000 मिलने के बाद जब मेरे पास फसल का दाम नहीं होया या मेरे को पैसे देने के लिए तभी एक साल बाद मेरे पास नोटिस लगेगा मेरे पास नोटिस आएगा कि आप पैसे भरो अगर पैसे नहीं आए तो वो कोर्ट में केस डालेगा केस में डालने के बाद हमारी फोटो मैंने लोन ले रखा तब मेरे को डिफॉल्टर घोषित करके सारी पंचायत में और वहां जाके सारी जगह उसके चिपका दिए जाएंगे कि आप डिफॉल्टर हो
और आरबीआई कहती है कि डिफॉल्टर की नाम मत लो
नाम नहीं हमारी मैं खुद उसकी कॉपी दूंगा अब कैथल जिला के अंदर हमारे लगभग 4,000 किसानों के पोस्टर लगा के और उसके बाद हमारी कुड़की हुई जमीन ने
ओके सो दिस इज अ गुड पॉइंट ही इज पॉइंटिंग आउट दैट द एंटायर विलेज नोज दैट ही इज बीन ह्यूमिलिएटेड हिज पिक्चर गोज अप ऑन द वॉल दिस एट अ टाइम व्हेन देयर आर at least 10,000 willful defaulters. Willful defaulters are people who have the money, but they say, do what you want, we're not giving it back. There are at least 10,000 willful defaulters, and the RBI said that they don't feel the need to name who these people are. So it's different strokes for different folks. We're going to go in for a short break, come back, and still get audience reactions.
But RBI, in internal system, they are sharing among the banks. Every name is being shared. They are being asking
but
to identify
them.
You cannot name the RBI without
the entire village. Let's go in for a quick break. We're out of time. Welcome back. You're on We the People as promised. Let's get some quick audience reactions.
will government will change rules and regulation? Will government will change the rules and regulation for the bank? They will impose more interest on loans which farmer takes to them.
That's already happening, right? EMIs are going up and banks have already announced that loan rates are going up, correct? But is this connected?
It's not connected.
It's not connected? It's not connected at all? Okay, okay. That's good to know. I'm glad we clarified that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, after the incident of Nirav Modi scam, the loss of money would be recovered or not? If the money is recovered, then how?
That's great. Anyone wants to answer that?
Already on Nirav Modi case, government has put up several raids. His properties are being confiscated, even
in tangible
and intangible. And that there are
his passport has been there is a difference between seizure and confiscation.
Property
please don't mislead
also,
the viewers.
Yeah.
Please how don't mislead the
let,
viewers.
Let me leave the difference. People, then you can talk.
So how has his international property been confiscated? How has his international property
confiscation comes after the court of law gives its judgment. It's a seizure.
International, abroad.
No,
the State Department won't even tell us if he's there or not.
29 properties.
Please don't mislead. This is a seizure. A mere seizure.
Prime Minister Modi, but they're not cooperating on Nirav Modi for sure.
If you don't want to listen, it's a different story.
So you can't better lies like this.
If you're saying that his international property has been confiscated, please give us the proof of that. You cannot make that statement, blanket statement on We the People and get away with it.
He has said that his movable property to the tune of 5,100 crore have been confiscated.
It can't be confiscated, Mr. Agarwal. Confiscation happens after a judgment by a court of law.
Okay, let's
it's
get
merely
Sumoy to
seizure.
Respond to this.
Stop
He's
misleading
not part of any
viewers.
Political party or an economic journalist. You've been covering this. Can this money be recovered? The BJP says that the government has already gotten back half of the money. Is that true?
First of all, that as long as the court case goes on, obviously there's no question of recovery. And whether it'll be happening or not, that'll be for the court systems to decide. I mean, depending on the valuation of his property, like Vijay Mallya's property has been put on auction repeatedly. And it's up to the buyers to buy and for the banks then to recover. So it's a lengthy process. It can be
but
done.
But it's not happened now. As
it
the
it doesn't
claiming.
Happen immediately.
You cannot the only thing subsume that you can, the legal process the, and just go on. Just
so the then why do you make a false statement?
No, but that
why do you say it's been confiscated?
Identified.
The property no, how can you mislead the viewers now? How can you mislead the
country? Nobody's
been identified and put up.
The one positive thing now is that we have an insolvency law. This law will make it much easier in the future. In the past, it was very difficult. But I think this is one of the best laws that this government actually has passed.
Okay.
And this will help.
So some steps
in
have
getting
arrived.
The money.
I haven't got a chance law, to speak. New law, fugitive law is...
Sir, I need to come in.
The fugitive law is...
I'm going to give you a quick... IBC is just 6%.
Can we just...
IBC is not helping the banks. It is helping the defaulter to get away.
And there is a fugitive law.
Can we just get some audience reactions?
Yes.
Businessmen like Vijay Mallya, Nirav Modi did fraud. And we the people are suffering by paying more taxes, ATM charges. And we are getting... we have to pay more money to get our money. So... Like, what's
okay,
our fault?
So that's a comment.
So
quick
that's
question.
What
you have
the
a
solution?
Question?
We are doing it.
My question is from Mr. Agarwal. Sir, with due respect, at the time of election 2014, our BJP Supremo said, don't make me a PM, make me a watchman to protect our economic vault. Now, not only me, we all of us wants to know how Mehul Choksi, how Nirav Modi, how Vijay Mallya flew away from India. And most important,
why
who
Karthi
is
Chal Chidambaram, you are not talking now.
Mr. Agarwal, that's a question
people,
to you, so
you
respond and then
there are 10,000 defaulters, willful defaulters. The government is taking action on everybody. If three have run away, that's not the whole story. I'm telling you, this may be 50,000 crore, 60,000. The total story is 9 lakh crores. You have to talk on that. Who have taken this money? Where they are?
Okay, quick response.
I need to come in.
Quick response.
You cannot
Mr. Agarwal, this is not a monologue. Okay, please, this is not one of those North Korean channels.
Adil,
please.
You probably have 5 seconds.
I'll keep it short.
Make your
I'll keep it short. The fact of the matter is, this Fugitive Economic Offenders Bill is a farce. It's a distraction. You have Section 13 and 14 of the Sarfaisi Act. You have Section 5 of the Prevention of Money Laundering Act. You have Section 82 and 83.
So you should
of,
have acted
please
on
Please do not interrupt, Mr. Agarwal.
You had 10
please,
years to
please
do
Please
do
not interrupt.
Going to be
he should have done that.
He needs to step in.
You should ask why
there is,
did
there
you
is the
act
CRPC.
On that? The question is why...
You know, that's the problem.
Okay,
that's
Agarwal,
the problem with
finish.
The BJP.
I think...
Can I complete, ma'am, please? The point is, post 2014, what we're witnessing is that institutions are under strain. Post July 2017, you don't have a deputy governor who oversees banking supervision. Post currently, as of now, there are 7 vacancies in the Supreme Court. You don't have information commissioners. There are 400 vacancies in the high courts. The problem is there is centralization of authority and zero accountability. There is the division of banking in the finance ministry. Complaints were sent to the Prime Minister's office. How can the chowkidar of this country just shrug off responsibility and say and turn a blind eye? This is a case of crony capitalism.
Okay,
either this is incompetent or this is sheer complicity.
The issue here is, how do we fight corruption in a country that's as vast as ours? It's not possible for one or two people to do it. It requires decentralization that can only happen if there's greater transparency, there's greater accountability, if institutions are sound. The Lokpal should have been set up. 4 years, there's not a single Lokpal in place. Who will investigate? Where is the empowered and independent agency to investigate these matters
today? Look what they've done with the electoral
college. We are forever stuck. With caged parrots, which the Supreme Court has called our investigating agencies, can we expect a strong anti-corruption framework then? Can people here expect it? The second thing is, why are farmers being treated differently from people like Nirav Modi and Mehul Choksi? Because they are corporates, because they are capitalists, and I'm afraid that instead of bringing more transparency into political party funding, what this government is doing is bringing electoral bonds, making it more opaque, and we will never know who is supporting the government, who is supporting political parties, and therefore who is getting political patronage. Therefore, the people of this country demand, and I think that it is shown in all the RTIs that are being filed, the kind of movements that have taken place, that there be greater openness in government. Till we know who is taking loans, who is defaulting on these loans, till the government has proper institutions that are set up and put in place, this will carry on. And capitalists will keep expecting and getting quid pro quo from successive governments. And that will not change.
And will this change on the ground? We're completely out of time. We could have gone on and on. We need to have you all back in studio to extend this debate. Thank you so much for joining us. Good night. Thank you.